Thank you, worship team. We're in this series called Hearing God, and listen, He is present. And so let me encourage you to lean in and listen this morning as He speaks to us from His Word. You probably have seen this on the internet, or maybe I've shared it before, probably have. But let me just share it with you again. It's called Imagine If God Had a Voicemail. It goes something like this. Thank you for calling heaven. For English, press 1. For Spanish, press 2. For all other languages, press 3. Please select from one of the following options here in heaven. Press 1 for guidance, 2 for requests, 3 for thanksgiving, and press 4 for why is this happening to me? To find a loved one in heaven, press 5, then enter their social security number, followed by this pound sign. The pound sign, remember, is in the right lower corner of your phone. For reservations to heaven, please enter John, followed by the numbers 3:16. For answers to nagging questions about dinosaurs or life on other planets and suffering, please wait until you arrive here to ask that question. The office is now closed for the weekend to observe a religious holiday. If you need emergency assistance, please contact your local pastor. Thank you and have a heavenly day. You know, sometimes I think we wish it would be that easy, right? But it's not. Proverbs 29:18 says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. And it's really what my prayer is that I want to help us to see what God is doing in these days, on this earth, in this church, in your life, that we wouldn't just stumble all over ourselves. He says, but when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. When we give our focus and attention on what God is showing us, revealing to us, speaking to us, then we are most blessed. Why? Because I begin to see God's purpose for my life. I begin to hear God, and you know, through His Word and through His Spirit and through the circumstances of my life, and then I can begin to live my life on purpose. We are living in difficult times. I think we can say that, right? Difficult times, you know, in our country, in our world, but difficult times maybe for you, just in your personal walk and all that's going on in your life. And here's what I believe. I believe in difficult times, God wants to move. Throughout God's Word, you see God looking for people through whom He can move. Whenever God encounters praying people, He is always moved. Jeremiah 33:3 is sometimes known as God's phone number. It says this, call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. I mean, if we want God to answer us, to tell us great and unsearchable things about our family, our job, our future, about the church, then we need to set our heart's direction every day to wake up and to begin to follow Him. Then, in the moment of need or in those crisis moments, we won't have to scramble around looking for the Lord's number. You know, now where did I leave that? Was it in my old address book, on my phone, a sticky note on the fridge? No. We won't have to do that because we have been communing with Him all day long. Listen, the more we remain in communion with God throughout the day, the more available you will find Him in our time of need. In the midst of those moments that seem hopeless, in impossible times, in the midst of seemingly unanswerable questions, we can know He cares. And we can expect His answer. Last week we talked about several ways that God speaks to us. He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through His Spirit, His impressions and promptings. He speaks to us through His people. He speaks to us through the circumstances of life, good and bad. Right? And then there's some other ways that He speaks to us. But here's the good news. The good news is God is speaking. God is speaking, and sometimes we don't even recognize it. I was talking to someone this morning. Sometimes we miss it, and we don't even recognize it. Sometimes you know, we go right on through it, and we don't even recognize that was God. And so the question is, since He is speaking, the question is, as I asked last week, are we listening? I share with you that Jesus, several times throughout the Gospels, like to refer to himself as the Good Shepherd and his people as sheep. And I love this passage in John 10, 3 through 5. He says this. He says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. And I love that. He knows their name, our name. And he leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. He goes ahead of us, directing our paths, guiding us. And he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. In Dr. Lynn Anderson's book, You Smell Like Sheep, he talks about how sometimes shepherds would be shepherding their sheep, and they would cross a road, and one shepherd and another shepherd would cross at the same time, and their sheep would begin to intermingle together, and you know, and they would stand there and they would talk a while, and then when they got ready to go again, all the shepherd had to do was say his kind of saying, right, his little thing, like yoop yoop or hoop, yeah, whatever he says. That was mine, and his sheep or her sheep, the individual. You know, his individual sheep would begin to follow him and would begin to follow the other shepherd. And you know, I know that because I raise cattle. They're not like, they don't follow necessarily like sheep. But whenever I would go out and just kind of, want my cattle to kind of gather up and so I could begin to count them and see what calves I had. I could just say my little, yep, 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 and they would begin to come. Probably because they knew I had food in my truck, but I always thought it was because of my voice. They recognize his voice. Proverbs 3:6 says, listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. And so today I want to talk about, the first part of the series was why it's important to hear God's, and last week we talked about how, some ways that we can hear God's voice. But today, this morning, I want to talk to us about preparing to hear him speak. To prepare our hearts to hear him speak in whatever way that he chooses to speak to us. And I'm going to do that by us looking at and being reminded about the parable of the four soils. You know it, it's very familiar, and it's one of my favorite parables in all the Bible. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke 8, or if you have your Bible app on your phone or whatever, you can turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And I'm just going to jump down real quickly to verse 8 because it says this. Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And that's what he wants us to. He wants us to begin to prepare our hearts and our lives and our minds in a way where we have ears to hear when he speaks, that we can really begin to understand his voice when he speaks to us. And so let's kind of jump in this because I got a lot of information this morning for you. Verse 4, we'll start in verse 4, Luke 8, verse 4. Jesus, it says, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering the seed. Some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, and it yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So what is he talking about? Jesus says the farmer goes out to sow seed, and so he's not just planting one seed at a time necessarily. He's broadcasting it. He's just tossing the seed all over the ground, and he says it falls on different types of soil. And depending on the type of soil it falls on, it gets a different response. Right? And fortunately, and Jesus don't always do this, but fortunately later on in this chapter, Jesus explains the story and tells us the meaning of all those parts. He says this. He says the farmer represents God, and the seed represents God's wanting to talk to you. You know, it's his voice, it's his word to you. The soil represents four different attitudes that you can have toward hearing God, four different responses, four different heart responses. And so this morning, I'm just going to walk down this passage, and we're going to look at those four heart responses today, because here's what I know. Before we can learn how to hear God, we've got to learn how to prepare our hearts to hear God speak. Four different heart responses, and you've probably experienced each of these at some point in your life, in response to God. The first one is this. It's a hard heart. The first heart response is a hard heart. And you would say, oh, there's no way I have a hard heart, Monty. Well, maybe, right? And I'm not saying you totally shut him down, but sometimes, right? I think the number one barrier to hearing God speak is that resistance, where we think sometimes, I don't need to hear God speak. I don't know if I even believe that God can speak. And so listen, if you don't think God can or will speak to you, guess what? He probably won't. We need to kind of elevate this priority of listening to God. If we want to hear what He has for us to do, we have to lean in and begin to listen. We want to know what it is that He desires for our lives. We have to listen. We have to kind of open up our hearts and minds to Him. It's amazing to me how many people in the world think that they're really open-minded, to God, that they don't really have a hard heart. But maybe they do. Maybe they're not open-minded, especially when it comes to God. I think sometimes people are very hard-hearted, very closed-minded. They don't even, they don't even believe maybe the possibility. They're not even open to the possibility that God could speak to them. They've hardened their heart. This is what he talks about in verse 5. He says, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. And so me, as I kind of picture this, I try to figure out what's going on here on the farms that I'm familiar with the rows of vegetables are in rows, right? And in between them are what they call footpaths, right? And that the workers walk on, and when they're picking the crop or whatever, it's where they are walking, or the tractor is where the tractor goes as it puts out chemicals. There's a path between each row of whatever you're growing, and as workers or equipment walk down this pathway, many times it becomes trampled down, right? It will become trampled down. The soil becomes compact. It gets really hard. That's what Jesus is talking about. He says, and by accident, if some of the seed that the farmer is throwing out happens to land on that hard, compacted soil of the footpath, there's no way that it's going to sprout. It's not going to take root. It just lays on the surface until a bird comes along and eats it. It never gets a chance to sprout. And Jesus says in verse 12, if you jump down just a little bit, he gives the meaning of this. He says, those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Two characteristics of that kind of path or that kind of heart. It's hardened and it's narrow. You know anybody like that? You might say, yes, I do. I know people who have a closed mind, a hard heart, maybe a narrow view of life. And sometimes they're even closed to the possibility of God in their life. They say, I don't need God, I don't want God, I don't even know if I believe in God, and they're really closed-minded. The point is, sometimes we don't even give God a chance, right? We begin to make up our minds and say, I got this in my own strength. I understand what's going on here. I can handle this. Our hearts become hardened or cold to God, and we become unwilling to listen. So what causes us to have that kind of heart? Let me just give you some things that can keep people from really hearing God. First one, of course, is sin, right? We have sin in our lives, and this sin begins to, separate us from God. It begins to block us even being able to hear from Him. And, it's sin that we know that we have in our life that we know is not pleasing to God, stuff in our life that we know, that doesn't follow the principles of God's Word, and it keeps us from really hearing our God. And then that sin can be manifested another way. I mean, it can grow into pride, right? And I think that's one of the things that kind of blocks and begins to harden our heart is our pride, where we say, I can handle this myself. I don't need anybody else. I certainly don't need God. I can figure it out. I don't need His help, so why even pray? And pride begins to cause me sometimes to harden my heart toward God. Another one might be fear. Just the fear of what God is going to tell you to do, or what God is going to tell you to ask you to change in your life. And you don't want to hear that, and you don't want to do that, and you're afraid of that, or just the fear of the surrounding circumstances in life. And because of that, you wonder where God is, and this fear drives you away from your faith instead of to your God. And then maybe even bitterness or unforgiveness or resentment. You know, that bitterness causes people to begin to close their hearts to God. And this is what I know, and I shared this with you before. You know, you're going to be hurt in life. Right? Sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. That's just a fact of the world in which we live in. You're going to be hurt. And the question is, what you do with that hurt, that's what makes the difference. Whenever you kind of hold on to a hurt or, you know, some resentment in your heart begins to grow hard and cold, and you become defensive, and even God's love sometimes can't get through to you. Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." So again, some of you have been hurt, you know, very badly. You've been betrayed or misled, or you've been abused physically, emotionally, verbally. Some of you have been rejected, or, you know, some of us have lost loved ones too early, right? Or, you know, your relationships aren't going the way that they're supposed to, right? Your marriage is not what you thought and dreamed of. And there's some resentment maybe, some bitterness there, and it begins to pile up in our lives. And in those moments, if we're not careful, what we'll do is we'll move away from God. We'll harden ourselves a little bit, and we'll begin to move away from God. And so I would just say to you, don't turn from God, turn to Him. I don't know why when we get hurt, sometimes we turn away from the only person who could really help us, God. I don't know why we do that, but we do, right? We kind of pull into a shell. We harden our hearts. We close off, our minds to God. We, you know, that bitterness begins to make our heart grow cold, and we turn away from God instead of turning to the very one who can comfort us. So I would say, turn to God. The tragedy of a hard heart is really nothing can grow there. Nothing can live there. Even if a little seed does fall on a hard heart, it won't sprout. That seed won't take root. Nothing grows and nothing lives really in that kind of life. That bitter life, that resentful life, is really a life that is wasted. It will just kind of grow your pain. Jesus said, the birds come along and eat the seed. You know, someone once said, this kind of life is really for the birds. Right? It's useless. It's worthless. Bible says in James 1:21, so get rid of all of that stuff. Get rid of the filth, the evil, you know, in your lives, and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has power to save your souls. Humbly accept. That's really the opposite of a hard heart. When you have this heart of humility, when you really begin to open it up and say, okay, God, I can't do this on my own. I can't figure it out on my own, God. That, you know, listen, the ways I have tried to do it haven't worked. So I'm going to quit leaning on my own understanding, God, and I'm just going to trust you with all my heart and acknowledge you in every area of my life. God, I'll begin to let you kind of help me. Even though I can't figure it out, I'm still going to lean in and be listening to you. So here's what I would say about that kind of heart response is this. To hear God's voice, I'm going to have to humbly open up my life to Him and begin to listen. The second heart response is a shallow heart. Verse 6, Jesus says, other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed began to grow, but it soon withered and died for lack of moisture. And so in Israel, it's just the soil there is just a thin layer of topsoil that kind of covers over a rocky soil, a limestone kind of bedrock. And so you plant something on it, on this rocky soil, and the seed will sprout, but it can't get any deep roots down because it hits that rock, right? And so it withers and it dies, and it doesn't last very long. And Jesus, in verse 13, he says, this is what it represents. He says, those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. It's a shallow heart. It's just surface stuff, right? Superficial. And I think sometimes we react that way to God's word. We get excited, we react emotionally, right? We react impulsively, but we don't let God's word sink into the bedrock of our personality, right? Or the bedrock of who we are. We don't allow it to begin to get down into us, though, that it changes our character, our behavior. And so there is no real change. It's just kind of this emotional feeling reaction. It says they received the word with joy. They believed for a while. You know, they were going, wow. You know, you walk out of here, sometimes you go, wow, that was a great service. That was good. But you walk out the door, and then you forget it immediately. And you never allow the word of God to begin to really penetrate into your heart and begin to bring change. So how do we grow beyond that? How do we really begin to get spiritual depth in our lives? How do we develop those spiritual roots? How do you even know if you got roots, right? How do you handle it when things are difficult or things don't go right? You got to have roots, you know, that go down deep, that you can hold on to even when the storms come, that you won't be, you know, tore loose because of the way, you know, he is rooted into your heart and your soul. So how do we do that? And I began to think this past week, you know, the way that I think that I do that is, or what I need to do, as I've looked over these past few weeks in studying this and preparing for this, I begin to think, you know, what I have to do is I got to begin to change directions. That I've been going around this path, and it's not the path that God has called me on, right? It's what, you know, I need to change. I need to begin to walk in a different way. I don't know about you, but I love when I fly. You know, I love to sit in the airport in between flights or whatever, and just watch people. How many are people watchers? Yeah, I love that. Or, you know, when Kim drags me to shopping, I mean, I'll sit out on the bench in 110 degree weather. You know, I'd much rather do that than shop. But I love to just sit there and watch people. And I love to watch how they walk, right? Some walk fast, right? Some are slow. Some of us are bow-legged, so we can't seem to walk a straight path. We kind of zigzag back and forth. I'm walking with Kim, and I, you know, she's always, would you quit walking in front? Would you quit going back and forth? Choose a direction, Monty. Right? Choose it. And so sometimes when I'm sitting there, you know, and watching people walk, because I'm weird, I hear Steven Tyler wear Aerosmith. Shouldn't confess this, you know. But I hear his, you know, that song, Walk This Way. I'm not going to sing the rest of that song because it's not a very good song, but you know, when I hear that, I go, wow, that'd be a good message, right? Be a good message. So one day you're going to hear that. It's going to be a message. But, you know, when I have this shallow heart, I begin to think, you know, I need to begin to go down a new path. Isaiah 30:21 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. This is the way. Walk in it. Jeremiah 6:16 says, this is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. I love that verse. It just says, Monty, you need to stop. Stop at the crossroads. Right, and we are at a crossroads, I think, in our lives and, you know, in our country. Stop at the crossroads and look around, right? There's some different options. Just begin to look around, right? And ask for the old godly way and walk in it. And I think that old godly, that old ancient way is saying, Monty, you just get back to my word. Get back to spending time here in my word. Get back to spending time praying and talking to me, right? Begin to schedule that. That's the path I want you on. to every day wake up and begin to have time where you spend with me, that you're alone with me. I mean, and it could be 5, 10, 15 minutes. You know, you sit down, you read God's word just for a little bit. You talk to God for just a little bit. You sit and you listen to God. And you say, God, is there anything you want to say to me through your word, or anything, God, that you know you want to say to me through your Holy Spirit, God, any way that I need to change directions in my life, in my relationships? Maybe you review your notes from, you know, the past week, or maybe you journal a little bit. It really doesn't matter, you know, but you just have to make time to listen to God. Anything you want to say to me today? One of my favorite verses in Psalms is Psalms 24, 25, 4 and 5. It's a couple of verses that I used to pray when I was a young man, just, you know, with young children, and just needed, you know, just felt like I needed his direction. And it says this, it says, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. Show me your ways. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. I don't know anything that will build spiritual roots faster than spending a daily time with your God. Listen, we have to make time to listen to Him. You got to put Him on your schedule so that you have time to hear God speak. He wants to be at the center of your life. And the way that you know that He is the center of your life is you begin to make time to listen to Him. To begin to schedule spending time in His Word and on your knees in prayer with Him. So here's what I know about this shallow heart. That if I'm going to begin to build deep roots down into my life, into my soul, that will hold me when storms come in my life. If I'm going to really be able to hear God's voice, I've got to meet with Him every day. Every day. And grow. The third heart is this. It's a distracted heart. This third heart response, Jesus says in verse 7, He says, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Notice, you know, in this soil, the seed does not, it does, you know, get to sprout, and it actually starts growing, right? But after a while, it gets choked by the weeds, and so it bears no fruit. Verse 14, Jesus says, this is what that seed represents. That seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Jesus begins to say that the distractions are like weeds. They kind of grow up in your life and choke out the ability for you to hear God. And actually, He gives us right there three very common weeds. Three common weeds that will choke God out of your life. He first says it's worry, and you know, this weed is really manifesting itself in unbelievable ways in these days in the life of us as people, you know, as our students and our children, and just hearing more and more stories of just the anxiety and, you know, the panic stuff that are going on in even our young people's lives, our children's life. And it's a weed, if we're not careful, will begin to choke out the ability for us to hear God. We can be so busy with the problems and the pressures of daily life that you forget God. I've shared with you before, worry is assuming responsibility for something that God never intended you to have. And so when you worry, you're trying to change the past, right? Or you're trying to control the future, and what ends up happening is you mess up the right now. And I forget God because I'm so filled with anxiety. I'm too filled with worry that I don't even think about God anymore. You have to give it to God. You have to cast all your anxieties on Him because He's the one that cares for you. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, to pray by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. Where? In Christ Jesus. And then he says, riches. You know, we can get so busy trying to make money to be successful or whatever that we forget God. You become distracted by that, and you kind of get up every day and head to the same place and work all day, and you come home and tired, and your head hits the pillow, you go to sleep, you get up the next morning and you do it again, and you don't really have any time for God. Sometimes someone said that we're so busy making a living that, you know, that we don't really have time to make a life. You can't hear God speak to you. And then he says pleasures can distract you. And there's really nothing wrong with pleasure, except that if you're pursuing it more than you're pursuing God, if you're pursuing fun more than you're pursuing God, well, then you will begin to, you know, be distracted, and you'll forget God, and he won't have any place in your life. And so we have to eliminate those distractions in our life. And these are just weeds. I mean, there are a lot of different kind of weeds. A weed is anything that is allowed to take first place in your life instead of God. A weed is anything that you allow to choke God out of your schedule. It can be a very good thing, but, you know, or a bad thing, but it's anything that you allow to choke God out of your life, and you don't have time to hear God speak to you. Anything that does that is a weed. Let me ask you a question. How much effort does it take to grow weeds? Yeah, it takes no effort at all. I used to have a slope that went down from my house. It was about a third of an acre, and it proved that I was a professional weed farmer. I thought I was always a farmer and was good at agriculture, but I am definitely a professional weed farmer. I didn't have to do anything, right? I just looked back there, I tried to mow them, and just keep growing, right? But roses, you try to grow roses, you got to cultivate those things, water, you got to put fertilizer on them, prune them, pamper them, and then they barely grow for me, right? But a weed, you just ignore it and you watch it grow. So listen, weeds are a sign of neglect. Whenever you neglect time with God, guess what? Weeds are going to begin to grow in your life. It may not be any of those three there, but there will be some. And they're going to grow up, and they're going to begin to strangle. If you're not careful, they're going to begin to strangle the spiritual life right out of you. And you'll begin to have this distracted heart. You can't hear God. You know, when your mind is so distracted and crowded with other thoughts, when it is crowded with worries and concerns and anxieties, when it's filled with just your plans, your to-do lists, you know, what do you got to do next? What do you haven't done? What should you have done but didn't do? And, you know, when your mind gets so filled up with social media, right? When all this noise is going on around you, it begins to distract you from the things of God. And so we need to intentionally build quiet into our lives, because our lives are so noisy, right? For all of us, always noisy. As I said last week, we say, God, speak up, speak up. We want God to turn up his voice, and he's wanting us to turn down our lives. Begin to eliminate the distractions. Turn down the volume of those things in our lives. So I just want to encourage you this week to find some time just to have quietness. You know, maybe just to sit and to think. And I don't know what that's going to take for you. Maybe it's just turning off the radio as you drive down the road, or turning off the smartphone, or shutting the computer. But begin to intentionally build quiet into your life so that you can begin to understand what the distractions are that are keeping you from hearing God. Another word is not only quietness, but stillness. To begin to build stillness in our lives, you know, not just quiet, but stillness. We begin to shut down the operations of our lives and the to-do lists, and we let that stuff just kind of move away, and we eliminate that stuff, and we are still before our Lord. Psalms 46:10, of course, says, "Be still and know that I am God." And you can circle that word, you know, still, and then you can circle that word know, and you can draw a line between them, right? Because I am convinced there is a connection between the stillness and the knowing. The more still I am, the more I can begin to focus on Jesus instead of all the other things that are going around in my life and on in my life. And as I focus on Jesus, I can begin to know God's will. I can begin to hear His voice and His call for my life. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, "Since we're surrounded by so many examples of faith," you know, since we're hanging out with other believers, that's why small group and Bible study is so important to us, to be with other believers and begin to grow in our faith. He says we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially sin that distracts us, and we must run the race that lies ahead of us and never give up. We must focus on Jesus. When you have this distracted heart and you're wondering where God is and you can't hear His voice, it's a focus problem. You're too focused on the distractions, and you need to refocus on Jesus. So here's what I know about that heart, that distracted heart. If I'm going to hear God's voice, I've got to focus on Jesus more and me less. And then the fourth heart response is this. It is a prepared heart. Jesus calls it the good soil. In verse 15 he says, "But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and a good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop." Notice the four marks of a good soul. First, they hear it. They have ears to hear. Right? They begin to humble themselves and not think they can do it in their own strength, right? Begin to get rid of, you know, the distractions of life around them. They begin to try to put roots down in by studying God's word, by being in small groups, by being around the people of God. They hear it, and then they begin to retain it. They memorize it. They remember it. Then they obey it. Then they persist in it until they bear fruit. They just keep crying out to God. Keep spending time with Him. Keep studying His word. Pursuing Him. Being persistent until something happens, until God speaks. I mean, it's so important. Here's what I believe. God speaks to the person who decides in advance to do whatever God tells him or her to do. You get to that place where you're saying, yes, God. Yes, even before He tells you what you're doing, you say, "I'm telling you, my answer is yes." Before you even talk to Him, God, I'm telling you, okay. God, I know You love me. I know that you're smarter than me. I know that You're God and I'm not. And I know You want what's best for my life. And so, God, I trust You completely. So, God, whatever you're going to tell me, I'm telling You in advance. I'm going to do it. God, I've prepared my heart to hear Your call on my life. So go ahead and speak, Lord. For Your servant is prepared and listening. And so how do we get that prepared heart, you might ask? And I said, well, good. Thank you for asking me. Three ways. Just three little words. We repent. You know, we keep walking in this direction away from God, and we turn and we begin to walk toward Him in right relationship with Him, pursuing Him, spending time with Him, talking to Him in His Word. We repent. And if you've been going in this direction away from God for a long time, it's okay. Listen, just stop and turn around and begin to walk His way. Begin to trust in Him with all your heart. Begin to quit leaning on your own understanding, and in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. And let Him begin to direct your path and begin to guide you and speak to you. The second is this, just refocus, as I said. Refocus. You know, begin to say, okay, God, I'm gonna refocus. As I step out of here today, I'm gonna refocus on you. I'm gonna refocus my commitment on you, God. I'm gonna refocus to being in your word, God, to spending time with you. I'm gonna refocus, God, to begin to follow your ways in every area of my life. And then the third word, revive. Just begin to ask God to bring a revival into your heart. Begin to awaken you to His voice speaking to you. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, let's make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts us, both within and without. Let's make our entire lives fit in our and holy temples for the worship of God. Listen, God is speaking. And here's what I know, that God's voice is clearest in a prepared heart environment. Here's what I know, because I majored in agriculture. Heard someone say this once, you can't grow bananas in Alaska. Just can't do it. It's not the right environment. I know you're glad you came to hear that today. You got to grow bananas in Jamaica. Listen, you put your heart in the right environment, and a great harvest will come from it. You'll begin to produce a crop more than you could ever imagine. You'll begin to sense and hear His voice and have the courage to be obedient to that voice and begin to step out in faith and live His call on your life. Put your heart in the right environment. You prepare your heart. Keep persevering, and a great harvest will come from it. That's my prayer. That's really what this whole series has been about in my own life, in my own walk with God, as I begin to change a direction maybe I have been going and begin to walk in His way. To really begin to understand that these are urgent and serious times, and that I want us to begin to be a people that take our prayer life to a different level, and it's more than just a devotional prayer life, that it begins to really become a deep, intense, persistent call on God, and that we get to do that together as the body of Christ. To really begin to prepare our hearts to be ready to hear His voice speak to us. And that we are people that are trying to put our heart in the right environment so that He can produce His will, His purpose, His harvest in our lives. And so before you can hear God speak, you got to do a little heart check, right? A little heart preparation. And that's what this is all about. And that's what we do here. Continue to prepare our heart to hear Him speak. Speak, Lord, for your servant is preparing his or her heart, doing everything that we can to hear your voice, to listen to you. Pray with me, please. Right here in this moment, whether you're here or whether you're at home or online, let me just encourage you. Let's just lean in a little bit and do a little heart evaluation. How about you this morning? If you were to look into your heart right now, or if you would begin to think about your heart, would you have a heart that's maybe a little resistant to the things of God, to the voice of God? Maybe you've kind of closed off and hardened your heart a little bit because of sin in your life, or fear, or guilt, or resentment, or pride, or bitterness, or whatever it is. Or maybe for you, it would reveal this very shallow heart, that you're just in too much of a hurry to really hear God. And that if you were honest with yourself, you don't really have any depth. I mean, you come to church, but God really isn't the top priority in your life. I mean, when the storms come or when the heat is really on, you know that you're going to wither, because you just don't have any spiritual roots. You're not spending time every day and alone with God in His Word and in prayer. You're not a part of any small group, Bible study beyond this. You don't have anything that gives you spiritual depth that can really begin to build those roots down deep into your heart. Would it reveal that you're just kind of a shallow believer? Maybe if you looked at your heart, you would see it as just a heart that's very distracted, so busy with so many other things. You know, things that are really good and you think that are really helping you. But because of all those things, you're so busy, so distracted, that you begin to leave God out of the mix, out of your schedule. He kind of gets squeezed to the sidelines, and maybe, you know, the weeds of life, the distractions of life are beginning to choke out your spiritual life, your faith walk with God. You know, we have to be very careful. We could even just be so excited about all that's been going on this morning in the presence of our God, and we can walk out of here. If we're not careful, little birds will come and distract us, steal the seed, and we'll miss God speaking to our hearts. Right now, just wherever you are, would you say, God, I want to learn to hear your voice. And God, help me to begin to take these steps of preparation. God, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. Will you have the courage just to say, speak, Lord? For your servant, the best I know how is listening. Speak, God. Maybe for you this morning, you're sitting in here or joining us online, and God is speaking to you, and maybe for the very first time you feel this pull in your spirit, on your heart, and you know you've never said yes to God. You've never, you know, invited Him in to be your Lord and Savior, and you feel this tug on your heart right now. And listen, that's God's Spirit saying, hey, I love you, and I want to be in relationship with you, and I demonstrated that by just giving you my Son. And He died on a cross to pay for your sins, your mess ups, your failures. But He rose again. So right now, you have opportunity to say yes to Him and just to confess with your mouth that you want Him to be your Lord and Savior, and believe in your heart that Jesus paid the penalty for your sins and rose again so that you might have an eternal forever life with Him. Will you just right now ask Him to come in and be your Lord and Savior? Listen to His voice speaking to the depths of your heart and call you into a relationship with Him. God, for us that know you as our Lord, that know you as our Savior. God, we so want to be a people that hear your voice and recognize your voice, Father, and then have the courage and the obedience to follow you. God, would you use us? Would you find us ready and prepared? Would you see our heart as a heart that says, here am I, Lord. Send me. Use me. Help me to lead my family, my marriage, my children. Help me to be your hands and feet in the place, the time that you have called me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.